This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. The House of Representatives passed the Waters of the United States Regulatory Overreach Protection Act of 2014 on Tuesday afternoon. Passage is largely an attempt to halt the Environmental Protection Agency and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers' proposed Waters of the U.S. rule. Senate action is unlikely, however, before the end of the year or at all. Still, passage was applauded by groups such as the National Cattlemen's Beef Association and the National Pork Producers Council. NCBA's Ashley McDonald said the interpretive rule actually narrows the scope of what is considered normal farming and ranching practices. National Pork Producers Council President Howard Hill stated NPPC wants EPA to rescind its agricultural exemptions rule immediately and to either withdraw the WOTUS rule or work with agriculture to make changes in the proposal that reflect real on-farm conditions. House Ag Chair Frank Lucas said he was pleased that the House approved this bipartisan common-sense bill to block the EPA from expanding its control of our nation's land and water resources. The EPA stands firm that this rule is not creating an overreach into agriculture and is reminding everyone that this is a proposed rule and changes are expected to be made. For a look at the livestock markets this week, I spoke with market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman.
Well, livestock markets, this is a time for the beef trade in particular to try to reassess the fundamentals. This is about the third time we've gone through this cycle where the trade was just simply convinced that prices have got too high, that we were going to see high prices ration demand, and at the same time we were going to have an increase in supply. And there's some valid reasons for that expectation of an increase in supply. They were simply following the data from USDA's cattle on feed reports, and so they were expecting this increase in supply. Expecting it in July, it didn't happen, and so the prices had come back up. They're expecting it in August, it didn't happen, so they thought, well, we know it's going to happen September then. It didn't happen July and August, so it's going to happen September. And there were valid reasons why the trade thought that not only would the supply be bigger in September, but it'd be at heavier weights, which it's proved to be somewhat heavier weights, up about 1.6% from year-ago levels, the carcass weights, but also that it'd be more of a captive supply, that the packers had done a good job of pre-contracting their supplies, so they wouldn't have to bid against each other for the supplies that they need and hold prices down. None of that proved to be true other than the higher carcass weights. As we got into September, the show lists have been smaller, not as big as expected, and even for the captive supply. And the demand for product has been robust, where the highest demand for product of the year occurred in the last week of August. In a holiday-shortened week, the first week of September was almost as strong. So we're seeing strong demand, a smaller than expected supply. Will that continue in September? And that's what the trade's trying to figure out. The futures are rapidly trying to catch up with the cash market.
So a lot is weighing on this month, and we'll see how it turns out as the month progresses.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Now, as we look at the hog complex, it's somewhat similar, except we're looking at the other end. We have abundance of supplies right now, and that's been driving prices lower for quite some time in the last half of the summer. In fact, 7 weeks straight, almost, nearly every day, that seven-week period, 34 consecutive days, we saw a lower cash index. And so we drove the market down, and at times the futures market was $20 below what the cash index was. Now we've turned that around in expectations of a bottom. The futures has traded up to $10 above the cash in expectations that we're going to have a big hole in supply as we get deeper into the fall starting later this month. Because of the PD virus impact earlier this year. And carcass weights have come down considerably too. So we've shrunk the supply up front as far as weights, carcass weights, and we're expecting a drop in supply numbers. If that drop in supply numbers happens, then we can justify this rebound in price. If it doesn't happen, kind of like what we didn't see happen in the cattle complex, then the market's got some adjusting to do, except in this case it might be back to the downside. So that's the real key right now, is going to see just whether the supply is there or is it not. The cattle side, they expected it to be there, and it wasn't. On the hog side, they're expecting it not to be there. Now we get to see if it will be.
And we get to see this play out as people are concerned that there will be lower hog supply with those who were already impacted by the PED virus. But we're also expecting to see a resurgence of the PED virus as the colder months come in.
No, that's exactly right. Now, we've had two vaccines receive conditional approval for use to fight this disease. Neither one is a silver bullet, but it's a tool to use to try to control the disease, yet the disease continues to be a problem. We know, though, that at any point there could be a breakthrough discovery and actually get a silver bullet type of a vaccine, and that would cause this market to collapse. So that's a risk producers need to live with. They need to continuously monitor this market, make sure they know what their costs are, and take a business approach to their marketing as far as when they lock in profits.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. That's all for part one of this afternoon's Farm Show. Stay tuned for part two, coming up after this.
Carlinville Truck Equipment makes industrial rollback equipment loaders, and because of this, they have the equipment and expertise to fix or fabricate just about anything metal around your business or farm. If you need truck or trailer repair, hoist or winch service, custom fabrication, or stock metal, call Carlinville Truck Equipment at 217-854-6706 or log on to ctemi.com. Carlinville Truck Equipment, 217-854-6706.
Want to design your own annuity? Non-qualified flexible premium deferred annuity from Country Financial may be the next best thing. You can make deposits of any amount you wish in any contract year as long as you make the $50 minimum deposit. You can even make deposits when you want, annually, semi-annually, quarterly, or monthly. If you miss a deposit and make it later, it won't affect your annuity. Ready to find out more? See me, Wayne Schaefer, Country Financial Representative in Jerseyville, and put our experience and financial strength to work for you. Give us a call at 618-498-5800.
Macoupin County Farm Bureau is about more than farming. When you join the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, you help protect the environment. We support alternatives to landfills such as recycling, and we advocate deposits on beverage containers. Your state lobbying team stopped legislation which would have reduced local decision-making in the siting of landfills. We believe that by protecting our environment, we are preserving and protecting the futures of the next generation. For more information, call the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means protecting our environment.
This past weekend was the 124th Farmers Institute. I spoke with Master Gardener Bob Feeney to see how it went.
Well, we were very successful this year. We had more entries this year than we have had in the 8 years that the Master Gardeners have hosted the Farmers Institute. We had 460 individual entries. We have seven different classes of entries in the Farmers Institute. And in these seven classes, there are 123 categories. So of this, we had more entries this year than we've had in the ever had in the past. And our biggest increase in entries was in the youth division, and we were very pleased to see that. We virtually doubled the amount of entries in the youth division, and we're always glad to see the 4-H people and the schools encourage their students to have different entries in the Farmers Institute. And we doubled that this year for a total of 460.
Wow, that is quite the accomplishment. And the Farmers Institute is very much so like a 4-H general project show, but for everyone.
For everyone, yes. We have people entering and, adults entering. A lot of the farmers enter their grains. I guess in the initial days, 100 years ago, people would, as I understand, would bring the corn and grain and wheat and other grains and hay and straw to the Farmers Institute in horse and buggy, in their horse and buggy or horse wagons, wherever they had, and the ladies would make their pies and cakes and all the other goodies and their other crafts that they would also make and quilts, et cetera, et cetera. But now we have a lot of entries from that. We have ag entries, and then we have fruits and vegetables and flowers and plants, canned goods and miscellaneous, which is anything that can fall into other category, fancy work and sewing, the culinary division, and the youth division, which was our biggest increase this year in the number of entries. As an example, with the grand champion cake, in several divisions we have a grand champion, and the grand champion cake this year was submitted by Debbie Johnston, and the grand champion quilt, Loretta Pizold. And of the of all these categories, we gave virtually almost $2,000 out in prizes this year for first, second, and third place in each of the various categories.
Well, it's great to see something like this still going strong in its 124th year, and especially in getting the youth more involved with it. That's really great to see.
We were very pleased to see that this year. Yes, we were. So.
Now, next year is going to be your 125th Farmers Institute. And are you planning anything special for it?
Well, we're not sure what we're doing, but we want to plan something special. We want to try to get Kevin Lighthizer, who kind of coordinates it with myself. Our objective next year is to get at least 500 entries. So we're going to do some more advertising or whatever we need to do to try to encourage more people to enter and maybe hand deliver some booklets to people to make sure that to try to get them to enter some items. We've had, in talking around with some of the people, they were not even aware of the Farmers Institute, but it's been advertised in the paper and on the radio. And we've had booklets all over the county in various Casey's General Stores and banks, et cetera, all over the place. And we wonder how some people can miss it. But next year we want to have more people involved. And if we have to give them a booklet to encourage them to have some entries.
Now, the Farmers Institute has a wide variety of areas that people can display pretty much whatever they want. There's an ag category, a baking category, flowers. Do you know which category is probably your biggest, most popular category for people to enter things to show?
Well, usually it's the fruits and vegetables. We've had more entries in the fruits and vegetable categories than in all. This year we had 115 entries, and that's actually down from last year. And we're kind of surprised, and we're not sure why, but it's down from last year. But that was the highest number of entries were in the fruits and vegetables category. The next one would be the culinary division, where we had 90 entries this year, and which is also up by about 15 from last year. So most categories are up this year compared to last year. So we're pleased to see that, and we want to try to encourage more people to do that. And then we have a miscellaneous category, and this year we had many, many different items in there, and the one item that won was some red raspberries. Won first place in the miscellaneous category. But we had other entries in there, like a gigantic kohlrabi. I haven't seen those in years, but this kohlrabi was about a foot long. And we had another individual entered hops. There's no individual category for these, so these are all entered as in the miscellaneous category. And how someone selects what's the best in that miscellaneous category, but I thought it was very interesting when the hops came in there, too, and we saw I'd never seen hops, but until the gentleman brought them in, and he makes his own beer, too, so he uses his own hops, grows his own hops to make his own beer. So
very nifty. So it's just the best quality miscellaneous object that wins.
That's what happens. Yes, it does. So.
All right. And you said that, again, you saw a lot of growth in the youth division. Was there any particular subject that was most popular in the youth division? And also, do the youth show against all the adults, or do they have their own kind of separated show within the Farmers Institute?
The youth have their own separate show in the Farmers Institute, and they can, like an example, is somebody can have the best vegetable. That's a category in the youth division, and there were 8 entries in that category, just in the best vegetable. And that was actually the largest number of entries in that particular category. But there's woodworking articles that the young people will actually print, write out. There's the best science project, best photographic display. And then, interesting enough, there's the best hand-drawn map of Illinois. And it's always interesting to see that particular, how the individual youngsters can draw a map of Illinois. And I think the one that won this year, I remember walking through and looking at it, was actually carved in wood. So
it was
interesting to see that too. So and there's a lot of entries, and the youth are really involved in it too. Thanks mostly to Kevin and the 4-H group leaders who encourage their students to place entries in the contest.
All right. Well, great to hear that this is still going strong, and hopefully you guys have plenty of entries next year to celebrate the 125th Farmers Institute.
We're looking forward to it, you bet.
Again, that was Bob Feeney with the Master Gardeners talking about the Farmers Institute. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.